You're listening to the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information.
This is the IT and the D Show, episode 185. This is what happens when two and a half geeks from Detroit get together in the bar and talk about nonsense. This is Bob the Sales Guy, Dave the Geek, Nuri the FNG. Guest tonight,
he's back,
are Elise and Ann from Detroit Labs. We're going to talk about what's going on at Detroit Labs these days. And Elise is also going to jump in and talk about what's going on with the Detroit Hispanic Development Corp. Should be a fun, fun show.
Tonight's episode is brought to you by Fellow Shredders. You may think that all shredders are created equal, but only Fellows are built for durability and maximum performance, so they get the job done every single time. Plus, with features like 100% jam-proof system and silent shred, Fellows shredders are at the forefront of technology. To learn more about the world's toughest shredders, visit Fellows, F-E-L-L-O-W-E-S.com.
We're so lucky to have you, Nuri. Dave, you may fire when ready.
The following program is intended for mature audiences.
This is Max Headroom. And what you're about to witness is one of the most sinister sounding intros to a trailer to one of the greatest epics ever.
It's I Love the 80s, and this is 1985.
You know, there's going to be sex, drugs, rock and roll, chips, dips, chains, whips. You know, your basic high school orgy type of thing.
This is Billy D. Williams. Bob and Dave and I are enjoying a Colt 45 right now. And remember, IT in the D. It works every time.
Remember, Sally, when I promised to kill you last?
That's what made me stiff.
I lied.
Gotcha. Where do you guys think you are?
The Library of Congress?
Detroit?
Beyond the Sun?
Any of those right?
Take him to Detroit.
No! No, not Detroit! No! No, please! Anything with that! No!
You will never find the more wretched hive of scum and villainy.
Then don't come! Shut up!
Hey, look, kids! There's Big Ben and there's Parliament! Kids! Big Ben! Parliament! Again! There's Big Ben, kids! Parliament!
You dig, you IT geeks? This is Dre DiMatteo from Sons of Anarchy. You are listening to IT in the D.
I've been going to this high school for 7.5 years. I know dumb
things. What happens when you tap the angry beaver in the bumhole?
Exactly.
Come on.
What's
wrong?
What the hell with this? I'm calling a break. We'll come back to this.
Hey, guys, it's Time Hog, Bruce Leroy from The Last Dragon. You're listening to the IT and D Show.
Yeah, coolie. Kiss my converse.
What's up, everybody? This is Billy Zabka. Sweep the leg. Listening to IT and the D Show. No mercy.
I may have to wipe the dick off.
It's yet another long series of perversions in an attempt to avoid responsibility.
Are we at a break yet?
Doctor.
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 And doctor.
Hi, I'm Ernie Hudson, and you're listening to IT and the D. All you nerds out there.
You're a nerd.
I know you are, but what am I?
You're an idiot.
I know you are, but what am I?
Nerd! Nerd!
Nerd!
Nerds.
Nerds.
Nerds!
What is a nerd?
I'm a nerd. And I'm pretty proud of it.
This is Scott Steiner, Big Pump Pump. IT and the D Show is your hookup. Holler if you hear me.
So it's sort of social. Demented and sad, but social.
You're in your underwear, I'm in my underwear. Hey, let's hang out.
No, I'm sorry, honey. I have a headache.
I definitely want to see Bob in his underwear. That's a fact.
I can't say no, and I don't really want to.
Well, especially with the back doors open.
It's just too big.
How big?
It's way too big.
I can get it all the way in.
Really? Should we talk about this? Tag team it. Should I keep going or should I stop?
I'm totally into Dave, but not right. So much Bob.
She's into Malacca's, Dino.
We just lost our clean tag on iTunes.
Give me a keg.
This is Robert Hayes, Ted Stryker to my mother. When I'm not hanging out at the Magumbo Bar, I'm listening to the IT and the D Show. It's worse than Detroit.
1.21 gigawatts.
Is there such thing as a meat hangover?
I love my Monday meat steak.
What's this, sir?
Very good.
Hey, folks, this is WWE Hall of Famer Hacksaw Jim Duggan, and you're listening to the IT and the D Show. Tough guy. Ho!
Did I happen to mention that I bothered to disclose this man that we're seeking with a mole on his nose? I'm not sure of his clothes or anything else, except he's Chinese. A big clue by itself.
How do you do that?
Gotta read a lot of Dr. Seuss.
So,
What would you little maniacs like to do first?
The question isn't what are we going to do, the question is what aren't we going to do?
Ludicrous speed!
Sir, had you better buckle up?
Buckle this! Ludicrous speed! Go!
Welcome. Thank you once again for listening. This is the one and only IT and the D Show, and this is episode 185, broadcasting live here in Studio One in Podcast Detroit in beautiful Royal Oak, Michigan. This is Bob the Sales Guy hanging out with Dave the Geek. Nuri the FNG is in the house. Find us online, itinthed.com. Real quick, mark your calendars. March 7th. We will be in Ann Arbor for the very first IT and the D Ann Arbor chapter at Connor O'Neill's from 5 o'clock until question mark. And then the day before St. Patrick's Day, why do we do this to ourselves? We will be at the granddaddy of them all, the semi-annual Pink Slip Party at the Majestic Theater from 5 o'clock until question mark. The greatest DJ in Detroit will be on the stage, and there will be over 150 hiring managers.
DJ Glockenspiel?
No, second best DJ.
Is it me?
DJ Nuri.
Thanks.
But we will.
And we may have something fun cooking up for that. We'll see how that goes.
Well, is cooking an important part of that, maybe?
Cooking's always important, by the way.
It is. I agree.
We have a phenomenal guest lineup. We have Elise and Ann here from Detroit Labs. Going to be talking about all the stuff going on with getting caught up on everything going on with Labs. And also Elise is going to come back and talk about the things going on with the Detroit Hispanic Development Corp. Should be a fun show. And we got a lot of hijinks and hoo-ha to talk about from being at the Great Lakes Comic Con.
We're not talking about hoo-has.
Oh, we can.
Can we? Later? Maybe.
No, we're not.
Dave, I got good news.
Only segment five.
We have our first.
It's another. Yes.
Yeah. Okay, we have our first sock. Dave, we have our first sock sponsor.
Woo!
Socks. I'm kind of excited. We've never had socks. I'm thinking of Mr. Deeds, can I still change the socks? But hey, this is actually a really cool story. 4 years ago, a couple guys learned that in homeless shelters, the most requested item was socks. I didn't realize either. I thought it was kind of like
it's one of those things that if you're cold or if you're wet, having a fresh pair of socks is like the best thing ever.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. So these guys actually quit their jobs and spent basically 2 years engineering the perfect socks, and then started a company called Bombas. They offer premium, thoroughly crafted socks, which is substantially better than ordinary socks in a bunch of different ways. In fact, they're such game changers. Customers claim they are the most comfortable socks they've ever worn. And for every pair of socks that they sell, they donate a pair to someone in need. Very cool. They've already donated over 2 million pairs of socks to homeless people, proving something small like a pair of socks can actually be a kind of a big game changer. So do us a favor. Start making a difference in your actual comfort and someone else's. Go to bombas.com. It's bombas.com/IT. Get 20% off your first order. You'll love them or you get your money back guaranteed. Bombas, bombas.com/IT. And I cannot wait to order them. And thank you for the support. Good time. So yeah. Dave and I spent every waking minute from at least 8 in the morning until 3 in the morning.
This was one of those weekends that we spent way, way too much time together.
And meanwhile, I was at home cleaning up my office. So
we lived on.
You knew where we were.
Right.
you have no out.
I know. We basically got it late from Seattle. I mean, maybe that's my out.
We basically lived on Gatorade and hot dogs that were in a hot tub.
Let's be honest. We lived on shots.
Wait, hot dogs?
Yeah, there's the beer. Foot massager. There's the foot massager ones, then there's the sauna one, or the hot tub ones. These are in the hot tub.
I like the roller ones best.
Hot tub or is it botulism soup?
Sick
burn.
Was that Limp Bizkit, the hot dog water? The name of their album. So we had a little bit of a craziness going on this weekend on two fronts. One is
let's prep. So Wednesday.
Going past that.
We you were skipping over it?
Totally.
Oh, yeah. So Wednesday, we kick off the downtown studio, being up and running with Chef Bobby. I love the man. Dinner in the D. It's a thing. I have never in my life been to a podcast launch party before.
Catered.
As many of these as we've been to. Not only was it a podcast launch party, but he's a chef, so it was fully catered.
Open bar.
Zim's Vodka brought in cases upon cases upon cases of vodka. There were bartenders. There was so much money in that room. You couldn't.
So you're
like,
saying it was a good party.
It was ridiculous.
Why don't podcasts at launch here in Royal Oak do that? Come on, Dave.
That's going to be the new standard. That's where the bar is set now. Yeah, it was amazing, and it was like, you know, great night. Had a lot of great conversations with people. Like I said, you know, the guys from Zim's Vodka, the guy from Genesis Cadillac that I hung out for a while. We had Chuck Bennett, the guy that's the style reporter for, you know, Detroit News and was on Fox this morning. It's kind of interesting. I mean, it was not your father's podcast.
It's a different world, totally, right?
Yeah. It was very Aladdin, very whole new.
We were just like, all the pictures that were being taken, just make sure and hashtag it Podcast Detroit properly.
Yeah, exactly. Make sure our banner's in the background. And exactly.
Podcast Detroit got a shout out in the news too, right?
Detroit News, yeah. That was Chuck Bennett that did a story. Yeah, it was very, very cool. So
Bennett.
Yeah, that was thanks to the commando drop from the intro.
Exactly.
But yeah, no, so that was a lot of fun. And then the weekend happened, and we went to Great Lakes Comic Con, and props out to Mike DeSantis.
Hats off, you do an amazing job. It was one of the
great show.
It's amazing. Than last year,
it's amazing that he has no anxiety. He just walks and says, "Hey guys, how you doing?" Then he followed up after the show and says, "You guys have a good time. I hope everything went well."
I think he has anxiety. I think he either has pills or a large stash of alcohol.
Like you wear it on your sleeve. He's just like, "Hey guys." Like, oh my God, I expect him to be like being crazy, man. But it's great. The artists were off the hook phenomenal this year. Like,
so much. Oh my, so much good stuff.
I walked by, I see Flash Gordon cartoon. I'm like, must stop talk. And then talking to the
first
guy.
First time ever.
Yeah. But like, find out he's like the creator of He-Man, Thundar the Barbarian, Flash Gordon cartoon.
How much did you spend?
Dave's, I get borrowed money.
How much did you tell your wife you spent?
No, it was like $50 with autographs from him.
It was totally worth it.
Oh, yeah. But they had Jake the Snake Roberts was in the house. It was
sad. The guy that did the voice of Hermie the Elf was there, but he can no longer do the voice. He's, go figure, a little old these days.
Who's that?
How do you not know who Hermie the Elf is? Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, animation thing, the claymation thing. I don't want to make toys. I want to be a dentist.
Oh, that guy.
That's Hermie the Elf. Yeah. So all I wanted was a drop. I don't want to make toys. I want to listen to the IT and the D show, but he can't do the voice anymore. Aww. I was sad.
Dieter von Trapp was in the house from Sound of Music, who was also Spider-Man,
which, yeah.
But, you know, like we do the intro part.
We need to explore this more. Can you go into Dieter von Trapp? What was he like?
I didn't speak with him.
You talked about the Sound of Music.
My friend picked him up from the airport. Apparently, he's a nice guy.
Yeah.
So like, you know, in the beginning we do that drop from Kentucky Fried Movie, like take him to Detroit, and the guy's like, no. I think the modern day version of if they ever redid Kentucky Fried Movie was get rid of his Netflix. No, because
dude, Twitter had a meltdown last night
because they're precious.
Precious was done.
You can't take my Netflix.
Could neither Netflix nor chill.
Yeah. Where's the damn bell?
That's right. Twitter was not chill with the lack of Netflix.
Like, how many options do you have like at your home? Like if one thing's down, so like, I have apps. I have Hulu. I have Amazon.
I got Amazon Prime. My Xbox.
I got regular TV. Netflix is down. I'm gonna move on. I'm gonna be okay. Is it that bad that I'm from the generation where like I just because we're used to the antenna being down on our cable and like the TV that we just move on.
These damn kids today.
Seriously,
they don't know static. They don't know from channels that turn off at night and have nothing.
Right.
The Star Spangled Banner at 2 a.m. and then nothing.
It's 9 p.m. Do you know where your children are?
See?
Exactly.
Right. And then the whole planet comes unglued. And then the award show, they pulled Steve Harvey right now is thanking Warren Beatty.
Ned Beatty.
I call him Ned Beatty.
Beatty.
But Steve Harvey right now is thanking relief. Because they introduced the fake winner and then everyone's
mad. So they announced La La Land as the winner because they had the right. And it was funny. There were so many takes on it today. And there was one that was actually called the CSI breakdown of what happened at the Oscars. And so apparently PricewaterhouseCoopers keeps a person on either end of the stage with identical briefcases, with a full set of both. They both have a full set of winning envelopes.
Freaking serious.
Yeah. So that no matter which side somebody comes in on, they've got the envelope to hand them. So Emma Stone wins Best Actress.
Superbad?
And then they come up to announce. So then they hand Warren Beatty the Best Actress envelope from the, because he comes in from the other side, and whoever's over there isn't paying attention to what award he's handing out.
Best movie.
They handed him the Best Actress envelope. So he's up there and you can see from all the, people are like zooming in on the envelope that he has and all that kind of stuff. And he's got the Best Actress envelope in his hand, and he opens, and you can tell he's confused because he opens it up and he reads it, and it says Emma Stone, La La Land. And so, like, he looks at it and goes, well, that can't be right. And then hands it to Faye Dunaway and is like, here, you read this.
Nice throwing Faye Dunaway under the bus for that one, by the way.
Well, the running joke is, yeah, Warren Beatty just felt like he had to screw her one more time. That's the but that was a debacle. And I call it
fakey fake.
The skeptical Dave is skeptical. I'm not going to lie. Because of the whole Steve Harvey thing.
Because everyone talked about it. Steve Harvey got more pub messing it up than they did.
Because nobody cares about the Oscars.
No one cares about none of the things.
Even with that massive script last night, they still had less ratings. Even with Netflix down last night, they had lower ratings for the Oscars.
Also,
I think,
Roku
ever.
Promoted that you could stream it live.
Really?
So
was,
yeah,
did you,
wow.
did you think that the Oscars people
I
took out Netflix?
To fall asleep, but
but it's kind of like I look.
Let's start that conspiracy theory.
Like every time I trash on the Oscars, one of my friends like, "You watch the Lions," and I go, "But this is like me arguing about the ESPYs. That's so irrelevant on so many levels. Like, can I just watch the movie?"
Well, because I actually think it was Dennis.
Or not watch the movie, seeing the crap that won.
I think it was Dennis that posted the meme that was, it showed the top 20
box office dollars.
Movies.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it was, yeah. So, we all can see that the number one movie was really Star Wars The Force Awakens, but the damn Electoral College gave us Moonlight.
Right.
Basically, it's just a bunch of Hollywood elites sitting around jacking each other off, right? That's basically
over
what
and under. Yeah.
And falling asleep. Apparently, because there was a great, I think it was BuzzFeed that did like the 15 most awkward moments, from last night's Oscars. And of course, the envelope screw up was one of them. But there were like people asleep in the audience.
Chrissy Teigen.
Nicole Kidman does not know how to clap. I don't know if you saw that because that animated GIF was floating around everywhere.
Oh,
dude, her hands are like, she's like doing this. Like, I don't know what
she
happened.
Maybe her nails were still wet
for her.
Exactly. It was weird. It was very, very strange. So yeah, that was a thing.
There's some really good jokes though last night. Did you see Jimmy Kimmel's political jokes?
No.
I think my favorite one was, I want to say thank you to President Trump. I mean, remember last year when it seemed like the Oscars were racist? That's gone. Thanks to him. That was probably my favorite. Anyway.
So my favorite story I read this week came out of Medium.com, and it basically said in one generation, the internet has basically gone from the truest sense of free market to almost a complete sense of fake market.
True.
And I was kind of intrigued, and kind of the way it ran was, initially when, the internet started, it was pretty much commerce was ran by eBay. eBay pretty much started that whole thing. And that's the truest sense of free market as you could possibly have.
Yeah.
Put an item up for sale and I bid on what I feel like it's worth. And if the guy wants to sell it to me or not, he has a choice to. Now we live in a world where you have kind of Uber setting prices and maybe setting fake surging in certain areas,
right?
At a set market price. You have companies like Snapchat that spend more money on their cloud hosting
than they make in revenue.
Yet have a $35 billion valuation, give or take a few billion. And you have these like fake propped up non-revenue making companies.
Oh, the bubble is real.
there's, it's scary on, you know, there was a slide IBM put out that I don't know the entirety of it. Someone will compose it on Twitter for us, but basically, you know, the world's biggest auto company doesn't own a car.
Is Uber.
The world's biggest hotelier doesn't own a single property.
Airbnb.
Right. So like everything now of the world's biggest X doesn't own a thing, but then they also don't make any revenue. Like how? I'm mind boggled that Uber posts losses. You don't own anything. Billions of losses. Right.
Yeah.
40% of each ride was subsidized by investor money.
No, it's the opposite. 40% of each ride is covered by your fare. 60% comes from investor money.
Woof.
So they're not even making half their money hauling your drunk ass.
How are they spending so much money? They don't own any cars.
They have infinite venture capital.
Dude, how is this not because the eToys like, Super Bowl commercial from like circa 1999? The we got money coming out the wazoo. That remember that?
Yeah. Well,
like, yeah, where they declared bankruptcy 3 days later. Yeah.
Pretend like it's not.
It's crazy.
But like Snapchat, someone like LinkedIn, I kind of get because it's almost like the Facebook model where you own all the people.
Exactly. You're not paying for the service. You are the service.
Yeah, you have the world's biggest business database. I get that there's value in that. What the hell does Snapchat own?
Everyone's boobs.
No, but like they.
Where's the bell?
She has it. They push ads. They do like
and they have the custom, stories.
Yeah, custom frames for like you can pay for.
Well, but I mean, if you think about it, so it is the what was it that Snowmageddon thing that they had going on had better ratings, better time engagement, better user engagement than the Super Bowl did.
And that's when I took notice and I'm like, are you kidding me? We talked about that in the air. I was like, wait, what? So now I'm like, okay, it's real. So I've been following it pretty closely. But again, the fact that I don't get how you can spend more in hosting than you can take it in revenue. Like, what do you spec? I know they're going to IPO and then like, if you buy stock in this company, don't you want them to turn a return, perhaps?
To actually make money at some point?
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, but it's not. So the venture capital comes in. They're going to make their money back at the IPO. And then the rest of us suckers that bought stock.
Exactly.
Are the ones that are going to end up paying for it.
Nailed it. Right.
All right. So for those of you in the room who use Snapchat a lot, have you ever clicked on a Snapchat ad before?
No.
Yeah, no.
We talked about that with Flappy Birds that they were making like $50,000 a day on that banner
because of the fake hits on the ads and like they would make the ads move.
Right. Yeah. You know who does that? One of Dave and I's favorite pastimes, if you haven't figured, is we go to bars that have the AMI jukebox and they have the app that's attached to it, and we play really bad songs and no one knows who played it.
We play really good songs,
and it's funny. But like I've noticed when they have that fake bit and it drops down right when you play a song.
Uh huh.
And then you played it and it says, okay, it drops down. So you hit the banner. I'd say 50% of the time I accidentally hit the banner because I'm doing it fast.
And you're drunk.
So they're artificially. Well, what it is they're artificially propping up their advertiser return.
Uh-huh.
Because they have.
Because it's all about clicks. And
wow. Yeah. You got
a 30% click rate. That's amazing. Yeah.
No. But I mean, when does this. The bubble's like is this bubble going
to
burst?
It almost has to. I mean, we're dangerously close to where we were in like 98, 99 again, where tech companies that have no real value are hyper valued at this point. And
the unicorns.
Yeah. Well, not even the unicorns. I mean, that's the problem is it's the companies that don't really. Yeah.
I looked at we talked about it before, but we got dinner delivered today at Grubhub at the studio, and Grubhub is valued at like $3.5 billion, which is more than like Outback Steakhouse. And it's like,
who's closing restaurants left and right?
Yeah. But I'm just saying Grubhub doesn't own anything.
Right.
They don't pay anything except for cloud hosting bills, apparently.
Uh huh.
But I'm, you know, is Red Lot, like all those different restaurant corps. How big is McDonald's? I don't even know as a company.
Huge.
Yeah, the three.
I hear they're big in China.
No, like 30 billion, maybe.
Maybe
as a company. Well, regardless, like, so you have Grubhub that doesn't own anything. It's 10% the size of McDonald's. It's like that owns real estate across the globe.
$61.95 billion for okay. net worth of McDonald's.
So Grubhub's worth 5% of McDonald's. And you think about what McDonald's owns.
Yeah, because they own all the land that they're parked on. Yeah.
It boggles my mind. Like these billion-dollar valuations of, you know. We're going to see an end to it. It's just a matter of
we have to. When. And I'm not going to lie, like that hurt my brain a little bit. But the one that really hurt my brain is, and I know you, we are of the same age. Everyone else in the room might be a little too young,
right?
Dude, remember when you got your hands on that Faces of Death VHS? Remember?
That's such an old man thing.
No. What are you talking about?
Of course you don't.
What are you talking
so
about?
Faces
you didn't have VHS when you were a kid, at least.
I had VHSs, but what are you talking about? I don't know.
So Faces of Death was a great video that was, this documentary about electrocutions and people eating monkey brains. And
it wasn't a documentary,
it's like Rotten.com,
really.
It was basically. Just
a – But it was phrased that way.
It was almost, it was almost a snuff film.
I mean, it was basically a snuff film.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like a compilation of snuff
But films. It was at Blockbuster.
People getting ripped apart by – Oh, and you can, and it was never
right,
in.
Right.
Yeah. And you had to be on like a three-week waiting list to get your hands on it.
Boy.
And then you would get it and you'd find your friend that had the two VCRs and you would copy it. And
it's like The Ring.
Yeah, and then it went around your high school. And
it's fake.
What?
It's fake.
It came out that
my childhood was
ruined. Ruin my childhood.
It's fake.
It came out the whole thing was
they
fake.
They did an interview with the Death Makers. It's fake.
How do you think the guy bouncing off the concrete that parachute didn't open? That was my favorite part of
a dummy.
The dummy.
A dummy.
Toilet.
A rubber dummy.
A mannequin.
I hate all of it.
Sad.
Ball.
So is 2017 becoming the year of fake because another thing just came out that, and I get it, but this is beyond my even levels of comprehension about Reddit, that the entire, if you're not familiar with Reddit, you can upvote and downvote.
It is the most wretched hive
of scum and villain.
Yeah, that's 4chan.
No, they're both.
They're both.
But basically that the story came out from Forbes that Reddit's being manipulated by financial services companies. En masse.
Uh-huh. And not like a little bit, a lot.
So Reddit is probably my only source of news anymore. And it's the seventh most popular website in the United States. Every morning, I think if you took away my access to Reddit, I would actually be probably 20% more productive at work. I'm not even kidding.
See, Reddit replaced Fark for me.
Yeah.
I was early.
Fark was good.
I was early Fark user. And then when Reddit came out, I did it. I liked it because you could customize it. Like if you didn't want to see that, you wouldn't have to see that.
You don't have to subscribe to a Florida Man subreddit.
No, totally. Exactly.
Yeah, by the way, and what's Fark?
Same thing.
Another website.
Back in Curtis back in the day, and it was a precursor, categorized news.
It was it was the internet. It was a front page. It was like all your crap on one page.
I think it's still there, maybe.
Yeah, absolutely, it's still there. I still get the newsletters. But here's what I don't get, and. Nuri, you read stuff and you make your own determinations
I do.
So I don't understand this whole idea of manipulation because am I just a separate human being that you're not going to change my mind just because something's on top?
Well, think about it, right? So if say a bad story comes out about me or my company or things like that, and I pay somebody to downvote that story to oblivion, that will never reach the front page of the internet. Right. So if all these people are getting their news from Reddit and no one's seeing my story, then it never happened. Right.
Well, that was the whole stink with
the equivalent of Google's right to be forgotten.
Yeah.
Right. But it's the whole stink with like the politics subreddit. They just got bombarded by one political party and then anything marginal got voted to the top and anything the other side got voted down.
Or imagine if I hated a sushi restaurant in Chicago. And I wanted to have a bad story about them upvoted into like the public sphere. I could do so as well, and apparently for as cheap as like $200.
That seems low to me for upvoting something to the front page of Reddit.
But it's all done by bots.
$200.
It's all done by bots.
I kind of want to do that this weekend. Like, just pick a random story about a baby goat in a little sweater.
Yep.
And get it up on the front page.
You like That's Photoshop right. our faces onto it too?
I could do that. Yeah.
You're totally sweet.
The sweater has a Podcast Detroit logo on it. We'll do that.
All right. We can do that.
This guy says that he was quoted about $2,000 US a month for unlimited conversation and vote manipulation. And then there are companies who do this in varying levels of professionalism. Some is like some guy in a basement. Others have like live chat where you can like chat them about your campaigns. I mean, it's sick, which makes me doubt my news source coming from Reddit.
Well, when you read the comments, like half of them are like, oh, you're a paid shill. Because then if you go into the comment history, it's all the same comment, you know,
right.
Control C, Control V. Although it's like, well, that guy's obviously a paid shill. But again, what do you believe anymore? Like it's all.
It's all fake news.
So you're a fake. No, seriously. Even the stuff that you think is user submitted is fake. The media is fake. The user submitted is fake. Like what? I don't even like the you're a fake.
Just the internet is fake.
The internet is fake.
It is all of it. Fake. But not fake. And I was glad to read this. So Maine is opening up an adulting school.
For who?
For anybody. Which, for the love of God, is needed.
What's an adulting school?
It's a school to teach you how to adult.
Like,
I almost want. Can you put on some music? Because I have a little rant. Do you have some Godfather music? Because
this is bad. Oh boy,
I will momentarily.
All right. So a buddy of mine calls me up the other night, and he is stranded in Detroit. And he says, "Nuri, I have a flat tire. What do I do?"
You change the
and
flat tire.
And he's like, "Do I call somebody or do I leave my car here overnight?" And I'm like, "Dude, do you have a spare tire?" And he's like, "I don't know." I'm like, "Pop your trunk, go around and look. There'll be a little thing in there. Lift it and look underneath to see if you have a tire." And he's like, "Oh." And he goes back and he checks and he pulls up the thing. And yes, indeed, there's a small spare tire in his trunk. He's like, "How do I change it?" And that is what's wrong with our generation, is that none of us have been taught to change a tire to pay our freaking bills or to pay our taxes. And it's like, I've been adulting all day today. I'm so proud of myself. No, you shouldn't be proud of doing freaking life, people.
Because it's you supposed to.
Yeah.
Like, again, you want Detroit to be taken seriously as a city. Stop issuing press releases every time a light bulb gets changed.
Learn to fold a fitted sheet for damn. I mean,
that's not possible.
That is possible to do in the world.
I don't change my
this
tire.
School teaches people how to fold fitted sheets.
Mary, like, I don't.
I would take a class on how to fold a fitted sheet.
I had two flat tires last year. I called AAA.
Well, right. That's okay. You should still.
You were adult enough
tire.
To
but
have
see,
AAA.
Your version of adulting is
them.
You were adult enough to
you
have AAA.
You didn't call Nuri to be like, "My tire flat. Oh God,
I took
what
care of it from the people that do that stuff."
Yeah. Yep. Get your shit together enough to pay somebody.
Right.
The guy I'm talking about, I love you to death, man, but really, come on. What's are people's parents not teaching them how to do things?
My I might be different because I'm immigrant.
My mom
kid.
Would not let me. I was like 12 when she was teaching me how to do laundry. When I was like 8 or 9, I was spending summers with my grandparents, and they like so Italian great grandmother taught me how to cook Italian, Dutch great grandmother taught me how to bake. So, like, are we not doing self-sufficiency anymore?
My mother, grandmother, my father was a butcher and a chef in the army. You'd think he'd teach me how to make. Every time I got near the kitchen, they're like, no, what do you want to eat? And they would magically prepare a feast. Like, anyone that I know that was immigrants' kids didn't get near the kitchen at all. I'm trying to ask for recipes for stuff that I know was amazing that my grandmother made. My mom's just like, I don't know.
You know, I have
like,
to say right now to my generation, if you do not know how to cook, if you do not know how to change a tire, if you do not know how to iron your clothes, if you do not know how to do basic things around your house, if you do not know how to pay your taxes, you are failing at life.
You're not adulting.
You are not adulting. And if you ever post on Instagram saying you're adulting, you should burn in hell.
See, now, hold on. Let me ask you a question. Don't we all Google? You know how I learned to cook? Google.
Yeah.
I don't take my kid to piano lessons.
Blue Apron.
Blue Apron, too. You know, I don't take my kid to piano lessons. Why? Google. YouTube, like anything that you need to know or learn is found on either Coursera or YouTube or anything for them. And it was a documentary and a to-do and an instruct, you know, if you take the time and actually sit down, you can learn anything if you want to. I think the thing is people don't want to.
One last thing, learn to swim. Come on, your body is already 60% water. Anyway.
How do you grow up on an island and not learn how to swim?
Also? By the way, Anne,
hi.
Learned how to swim in the past year.
Yeah, last summer. Yeah.
Adulting.
Finally adulting.
I mean, I could not drown in a direction, but I actually took like swim classes
she was like,
so
you
I
know
could
what?
Be like,
I need to do this.
Like actually swim.
Because I'm an adult.
We didn't at the opening, you didn't hit the events.
Yeah, I did.
You did?
You weren't listening.
I was paying attention.
When you type things, you don't listen.
That's entirely
possible. I don't know how your ears shut off when you like type.
All right. Well, hey, we got events coming up too. So there's
On that note, we're going to take a quick break. We are going to be back. Segment two. We got the ladies from Detroit Labs. This is the IT and the D show, and we'll be right back.
IT and the D. Read. Meet. Listen. Networking Detroit, one beer at a time.
Hey, this is John Schneider from Nip Tuck Smallville, the haves and the have-nots. Oh, Dr. Quinn, hot in Cleveland. Secret Life of the American Teenager and just about everything you can possibly imagine. And oh yeah, the Dukes of Hazzard. You're listening to Bob and Dave. It's the IT in the D show.
ITinTheD.com.
Welcome back. Thank you for listening. Segment two, episode 185. This is the one and only IT in the D show broadcasting here in Podcast Detroit, beautiful Royal Oak, Michigan. Bob the sales guy, Dave the geek, Nuri the FNG. We're going to have a contest pretty soon, I think, to give Nuri a new title. Yeah. We just got to do it
We've
properly.
Talked about that. We just got to figure out what we're going to give away.
I'm new. I'm the new WIST, but I'm still not the FNG.
Why can't we just call you DJ Nuri?
No.
No.
Nah.
No, it's going to be better than that. It's no fun. No. Nah.
What? Do us a favor. Go to
you're like, you're like a DJ and your name is Nuri. I don't see the problem.
You run marketing?
This is sometimes cripplingly literal.
Do us a favor. Go to itandthed.com. Follow us on all the social. Some interesting things coming up. If you hit the Learn tab, we're launching Career Academy very shortly. News to follow. But you can find out all the information you need about a year's worth of online curriculum for $29. It is a steal. For anything from A+ to CISSP curriculum.
Even an associate's degree.
You can get an associate degree for $20. You just actually have to do it. But we got some news coming out with the state of Michigan and the city of Flint. Keep tuned for that.
Hey, before we get rolling, though, this segment is brought to you by HostGator. And whether you're a small business owner, a first-time blogger, or an experienced web pro, HostGator has all the tools you need to build and host your website. From design and marketing services to intuitive website builders, HostGator is with you every step of the way. Their drag-and-drop website builder and mobile-friendly templates make it easy to create a great-looking website that's accessible on any device fast. And because HostGator doesn't cap the amount or size of files you're able to transfer or upload, the opportunities are endless. You can create as many email addresses and forwards as you need. God knows we have like 87 for IT and the D and Podcast Seriously. Detroit at this point, but they all work. Not to mention HostGator's 24/7 expert support is always available to assist you via live chat or email anytime you have a question. You also get to kick off your advertising with $100 worth of credits in Google AdWords and Yahoo Bing. But if for some reason you decide that HostGator is not for you, no problem. There's a 45-day money-back guarantee. So what are you waiting for? Here's what you do. You go to HostGator.com/IT and the D and see what HostGator can do for your website. And not only that, but when you go there, you're going to find out that our listeners get 60, that's 60, not 60% off. So go to HostGator.com/IT and the D and check them out. And as always, guys, thanks for the support.
Cray cray, 60%.
I know. It's amazing.
So, hey, we are lucky enough to be joined by the lovely ladies of, am I allowed to call you that these days?
Yeah.
Of Detroit Labs. Thank you for hanging out. Lise, this is like your... I want to say seventh time on the show.
The first four or five don't count, though, because she couldn't actually talk.
I was very shy. Yeah. I found my voice. Break, actually, found my voice, just like Frozen.
Ann, welcome to the show. We like having you guys on. So if anyone's in the living in Antarctica and doesn't know what Detroit Labs is, I guess give us the 10-second pitch, and then we'll get into what's going on these days.
All right. So if you want my very marketing spiel, all right, we dream up, design, and build beautiful applications. Our bread and butter are mobile applications, so heavily in native Android and iOS. We also have native JavaScript apps for specific clients. We are opportunists. We like to tinker. We like to mess around with different kinds of technology. We really like to just, honestly, we're a heavy learning culture. We have, let's see, Ann, what do you got? What do you got for me?
I was going to say, we're a heavy learning culture, so if you have something new and interesting you want to try, then come find us.
You guys claim to fame is the if you ever ordered a pizza from Domino's and that wonderful app that tells you that Mikey is baking your pie right now and then Tony will be delivering it.
I like that you can give Tony feedback. Like, good job, bro. Keep it
Seriously.
Up.
Seriously.
So honestly, we work in the quick serve restaurant industry. We've Domino's obviously like Bob just mentioned, then we redid the Jimmy John's app.
Wow.
We work in logistics. We've worked obviously with to be as vague as possible in the automotive industry, which around here is like pretty big.
Yeah, duh.
We've also.
I don't think you can be in IT in Metro Detroit and not touch auto.
It's
at
Detroit
some point.
Labs. Yeah. We have to do a car thing.
And we also another one of our main industries is banking, actually. So
you're famous for your apprenticeship program. I heard that you just finished a round of bringing on some newbies.
Yep. So our QA apprenticeship started today with Miss Erica Carlson, who's listening but is not in studio with us, who has been on here several times. I forget which one of her drops is hers.
There are quite a few of them.
And the intro, there's quite a few of them.
All right, we're gonna teach QA. So now grab your bottle of NyQuil, please, and drink the entire bottle. And then we're gonna. Sorry, I had to.
So I had coffee with Hillary. I can't forget her last name.
H-bomb.
So she works at Quicken. I had coffee with her the other day.
Episode 5.
Yes. Yeah. So anyway, I had coffee with her last week and we were talking about QA because I'm marketing now. I went just quick background for anyone who doesn't know. I went through the, Android apprenticeship at Detroit Labs. A year and a half of junior development and heavily marketing, is my background. So QA is not necessarily my strong suit. So I decided to talk to Hillary this past week. And she was talking to me all about, how passionate she is about it being a QA architect and how important it is to include it in projects and from the start to the end. And I've also talked to our own QA engineers, and they're very passionate about making sure that software working with the developers is, you know, like as solid and as sound as it possibly can be when you go live, which, as we all know, as technologists it's a labor of love.
Nothing ever releases into production without at least one known bug. Let's just be honest.
And it's a team effort. So,
for as much as I joke about it, though, like if it's not for QA, it could be a mess.
I mean, if QA keeps us looking like complete idiots all the time, they find the stuff that we missed or were too blind to see in the first place.
So like full on hockey metaphor, like you have all your players that are like out on the ice and then you have your goalie. So if you're only relying on your goalie and you're only thinking about your goalie catching any error that any other player on the whole ice
makes, whole thing goes to HE double hockey sticks.
Right. So it's a team effort, right? Like, so QA is important. And so so Detroit Labs Mobile, we've had a varying degree of good QA to, you know, people who didn't necessarily know what they were doing in QA. So we were like, hey, in the spirit of Detroit Labs, let's train up these people that don't necessarily know how to QA and teach them the trade.
Yeah, because we had some interest from some of our clients who were looking for QA themselves and couldn't find exactly what they were looking for. Mm-hmm. And the whole spirit of the apprenticeship program was, well, if you can't find it, make it.
Yeah.
It was in the inaugural iOS apprenticeship class.
Sure.
The
alphas, 3 years ago. Only the strong survive.
Yeah, there's not many of us left at labs, but most of us are still in development somewhere. So,
With our Pink Slip party come up, I'm always intrigued. I mean, obviously, you guys are always hiring. What are some of the you know, if you say .NET and Java, no, I'm just kidding. But what are some of the
we're looking for iOS and Android developers right now.
Okay.
So if you are one of those things, go to our website or go to the Pink Slip party and find out about it. Drop my name because we get a hiring bonus.
Yeah. Season vets, intros, does it
across all levels.
Doesn't matter.
Yeah, across all levels. Like I said, it's a learning culture, so we're looking for people who are experienced and interested in mentoring juniors, and we're also looking for juniors who are looking to grow and for people who are kind of in that weird space in the middle where you're not a senior dev yet.
Sure, sure.
A junior dev anymore.
Any cool projects you guys are working on that you're not under NDA that you can talk about?
Mm-hmm. Let's talk about
it. We work in the financial industry and likely not. But so this year, actually, what was the newest is we have a client in the financial industry. It's been exciting. So we've been one of our sales guys, same as Josh. So he had been, his goal for a couple of years had been to get into the financial industry, and we finally got a client and it's been going pretty well and he's been really excited. So he's been really excited to say we work in the financial industry.
That's why we have to say we're doing financial stuff every 5 minutes.
Yes.
Yeah. Kind of a nerd thing, but I'm going back to one of our first Swift projects. And we're sort of expanding it. We're adding features, but we're also updating it and this was an app that was built when Swift was brand spanking new. And there's a lot of, we hadn't worked out what the Swift idioms were, how you write in a Swifty way. So it's been really fun for me to go in and like refactor that back into something that looks really cool.
That's a interesting, I guess, good segue. Like Domino's, for example, you kind of built an awesome app. At what point do you go back and like retool it and make it awesomer?
So right? Is it
websites?
Right now,
is website you might take like 3-4 years before you retool? But I'm thinking mobile apps is quicker. Am I wrong?
It sort of goes back and forth. It depends on the project and how much
money they have.
Exactly. And dang. Frankly, the sort of I don't know, a less than ideal thing that happens a lot is clients don't see the value in.
Because it works. Why would we change it?
Why would we change it? So our job is to sort of be like, well, we're the experts and we're telling you that you need to do this. Or look at these cool features that you can have in, you know, you can add, but you can't do it while it's still old and crusty. Well, you need the new shiny.
App has apps hit old and crusty yet? Because, I mean, everything.
Comerica.
If you look at
Jesus, Comerica. Have you ever used that thing before?
I quit
I was
them.
Say, have you used the Bank of America app ever? Anyone who has, like, iOS, what level?
What are you talking about?
Oh, so like, there's. People who, like, haven't updated, but they, like, have, like, an iOS 4 app, and, like, it's barely working on anything. Or people who are, like, people who will either QA or, like, try to view something, and it's, like, they're using, like, a horribly old.
Yeah, like that's, I mean, especially with iOS, you get they explicitly sunset phones and versions of the operating software where they're like, we're not going to support this anymore. And if you try and put something in the App Store that supports this or is just targeted at this range of versions, then too bad, you don't get to do that.
Right.
So that's handy. I think Android has a harder time with that. Because there are infinite Android phones and infinite Android operating systems.
Which, good touch, bad touch.
No, I had an interesting argument with a friend of mine in Canada who's in technology and tries to be an emerging tech. And he was trying to argue with me that apps are dead. And I kind of laughed at him.
I've heard that argument in a couple of places that it's all supposed to go to like HTML5 and, you know, mobile. Well,
it's not the
first websites and things like that.
Yeah. I mean, it's not that apps are dead for the most part. It's that it's not quite, but again, it's like every other technology, whether it was Java or XML or anything else, it's not a silver bullet, you know, and so not every company needs to have an app, you know, and not, you know, an app is not going to solve every company's problems because, I mean, you still have to face, I don't care if you build a great app. Why does it deserve space? Why does it deserve real estate on my phone?
Yeah. And why does it deserve your attention?
You're right.
You've got to start not from the point of view of we need to have an app, but we have this particular problem.
Why do our customers need an app?
Yeah. Like, yeah. What problem are we solving with this app? What are we making easier or better for our customers?
The problem I see most companies doing right now is
you can open a room in your hotel with your app because keys are really
stupid.
Hard
no, but like,
and everybody knows that like Bluetooth locks are the most secure thing in the world.
Right.
And nobody could possibly screw that up.
Even more people know those key cards are super secure too, right?
Oh, yeah.
The one thing that drives me the most nuts is I always bring up Marriott and Delta because I use them the most. Mm-hmm. But the app experience and the m.com experience are identical. So why should I have to download your stupid app?
Oh, I love the Delta app. See, I'm going to diverge from you on that one because like as someone who used to fly Delta every single week twice, boarding passes. Like I've never booked a plane ticket.
Yeah, but if
though.
You can get the same experience.
No, but the m.delta.com experience is identical.
Really?
Yes.
Why do I need their app?
Exactly. That's what I just said.
What is the app providing that the mobile experience
there's nothing,
isn't?
Right. And I tried to argue with someone that built one for our local soccer club. And I go, it's the same as if I go to the .com. Why would I download your crap?
Now I could see Uber having importance of an app. Things like messaging apps like Signal, Facebook Messenger, Facebook, you know, really
good Facebook Messenger doesn't need its own isolated app. Stupid.
But that I don't like that they broke it out and it's its own thing.
Floating dot that.
Awful.
I'd say Yelp is important because Yelp is contextually aware of where you are. You're on the go when you're looking for it.
But it's the same experience as m.yelp.com.
I've never tried.
It's an identical experience.
I'm deleting your app right now, Yelp.
No, but like, again, I guess what could you do to make it a better experience? You know, because you want to have them both, but why make me download your crap?
You have to have something in there that is going to again, build on the mobile experience so that it's you're getting something extra. You're getting something is somehow being offline, a thing that it can accommodate in an app in a way that it can't on a mobile website. Is there some sort of security, extra security that you're getting because you have an app and not on, like, think about your banking app. You're not going to hop on your local unsecured Wi-Fi at Honest John's to do your banking. When you can,
some people will.
Well, some people will. Some people will.
Can I afford this breakfast? Like,
and they deserve everything that happens to
you. Yeah. I don't feel at least bad for them anymore.
Facebook gives you a cleaner experience on your app, but it also destroys your phone in terms of battery and
the many evils, you know, of Facebook notwithstanding. Right,
what I'm saying is at least they give you a cleaner, better experience.
Yeah.
Whereas
you can get a more focused experience on Yelp in the app because it leans on being able to be contextually aware of where you're at. And
well, but like honestly, like so like, you know, when we do Meatball, like it drives me nuts that you can't sort in the app the way you can on the website.
Right.
You know, you can't sort reviews. You can't filter stuff. You can't. I mean, it's actually a lesser experience in the app than it is with the website. But I mean, that's just one.
But I'm looking at like the apps I have downloaded. And
Clash of Clans,
Boom Beach, like AT&T UVerse. Like the only ones that there's really not many that I really need that I can't go to the .com.
Like Tinder and
Grindr. No. Wait, what? I didn't say that. No, don't isolate that, Dave.
We're talking about sandwiches, right?
No, but I used the Grubhub app and didn't go to m.grubhub. Would it have mattered? No. That's the thing. I'm just it's trying to.
Well, and your latest Godfather moment with apps has to be the push notifications, because I've been watching you lose your mind about that.
It's driving me bananas. Like it's been taking me like an hour to find where they're at to turn them off lately. That's my Sunday afternoons now. I drive by my so like this is my Sunday afternoon. I have a Meijer by my house. I get a push notification as I go roll past the gas station about
what price
toilet
what price
papers
gas is,
a dime or off or whatever. And then I pass a Verizon store, push notification. Then I do the push notification. It's like, will you go? Aren't you happy enough with me buying your shit? You have to like.
No, they want you to buy more of their
shit. They want you to buy more of their stuff. And in fact, they're targeting you because you are not buying enough of their stuff.
And then I play Clash Royale and I enjoy it. And I don't care if I didn't open up a treasure chest. Leave me alone. Like, I'll play it when I want.
Well, and I guess a good segue point. So, you know, with your experience as an iOS developer and we got together for lunch about this, you know, last week. So you want to dive in and launch a podcast.
Yeah.
Why?
Because
it's not like there are no tech podcasts.
Oh, no, there are plenty of tech podcasts out there. There's plenty of iOS podcasts out there. So part of my experience in the apprenticeship was that, you're getting a fire hose of knowledge. And I started listening. I do listen to a lot of podcasts and I started seeking out specifically iOS ones, and I don't want to like knock anybody. I know podcasting is hard.
Go
but,
for it.
It's really not.
A lot of them are very dry and very boring and very.
Today we're going to talk
dudes
about.
Dudes talking in monotone
code.
Voice
and the
about.
Of Steve Jobs.
Yeah. And I,
Kurt Schwede.
It's one of those things where it was like, all right, I spent a lot of time sort of cursing the darkness. It was time to light a candle. Like, okay, this is the pod. I can't find the podcast I want. So I guess I'm going to start
the demons that live inside Xcode.
It sounds familiar.
Sounds a little familiar. Yeah.
Yeah. Like I think you guys can probably relate.
This whole thing exists because everything else.
You couldn't find what you wanted. So you were like, I guess I got to do it.
Exactly.
So that's kind of the point I got to. And Elise kicked me a whole lot. And so I'm going for it.
Cool.
Yeah.
So what do you think you're going to cover?
I'm going to try and cover mostly iOS development, talk to some of the iOS devs that I know, people in the community, try and see who else I can entice.
As long as you make like chicks in the title or something, because that'd be awesome.
Absolutely not.
So, okay, so her, I mean, so heart, your but title, no. Tell your title.
Yes.
I heart code.
Okay. So here's what it wasn't going to be called. We hate Xcode, but.
So it should be I drink.
At least wouldn't let me.
Oh, snap.
Mainly because Apple PR would be all over it. And I love you, Apple PR.
Okay.
Never like question from you someday.
Appler?
You weren't far off with iDrink. I started to lean in on one of my other hobbies, and we're going to call it Code Cocktails.
So Anne is like a craft cocktail maven.
Yeah.
She has one of those. She has like shrubs in her like personal home bar that I could like some sort of like passion fruit or like thing that I would never buy at the grocery store.
I was gonna say I didn't buy those. I made them.
No, she made them. That's what it is.
So you can make ficuses and various other types of greenery?
Yes.
Oh, we're talking a different kind of shrub.
Shrub kind of thing. But I mean, I could plant
shrubs.
A thing.
The cocktail version, which is basically like a vinegar.
Yeah. Drinking vinegars.
But so we're going to have some guests on. We're going to talk about the things that about this profession that lead us to drink. And then we're going to have a lovely cocktail. And
it's going to be a long show.
We're going to break it into separate shows. We're going to cover it all at once. So
this one time, I was doing Q&A. And someone left out a QA.
It's not a question.
It's not a question answer.
One time. So
somebody
QA.
Left out a semicolon.
Bob just tipped
and the
his
whole
hat
thing
as half of an IT guy.
It can be quality and insurance.
No, it can't.
It quality can. And insurance?
No, quality. Assurance.
Oh, boy.
Stop talking. No!
No, so cool. So I hate doing this because you're never supposed to ask questions you don't know the answers to. But so when do you think you're going to fire up?
I'm trying to make sure I can coordinate with one of my first guests so we can set up a time. And then in the next couple of weeks, I will be probably calling you and being like, hey, when do I get a couple hours in the studio?
Cool.
Chatter.
Awesome.
Yeah.
We'll make that happen.
Awesome. So we can find you guys at DetroitLabs.com. And in the various social circles that we all run in. But we appreciate you guys hanging out. Elise, you're still hanging out to talk about the Detroit
we're not
Hispanic
kicking
development. No, we're not kicking out.
I can go.
But hey, we're going to take
we're
a quick
leaving.
Break and we're going to be back with more Elise. This is the IT and the D show and we'll be right back.
Yes.
IT and the D. Read, meet, listen. Networking Detroit. One beer at a time.
Hi, I'm Brittany Daniel from The Game and you're listening to IT and the D show.
ITintheD.com.
Welcome back. Thank you for hanging out with us. This is the IT and the D show, and we are at segment 3, episode 185, broadcasting live here in Studio 1 in Podcast Detroit in beautiful Royal Oak, Michigan. Bob the Sales Guy, Dave the Geek, Nuri the FNG. Read all about all the things at ITandTheD.com, and thank you for listening. We appreciate you.
Yeah, we got the episode, or I got the episodes, the events on the 7th over in Ann Arbor and then the 16th down in Detroit at the Majestic for the Pink Slip Party.
Hit the meat tab on the site. That's M-E-E-T, not M-E-A-T.
Still no meat sticks.
Both. It's both.
Sad. Sad no meat sticks.
Winters is listening. They're going to make us, they can custom label brand it, Monday Night Meat Sticks.
Yeah, they can, but will they? That's the big question.
One day.
But hey, so before we get rolling, we do love having great advertisers support our show because it keeps us from doing annoying things like, you know, having Kickstarters and bars because we don't know how to run a business.
Or Patreon links.
Or pitch. Yeah, we don't do any of that nonsense because we don't have to. But in order to continue doing that, we do need your help. So here's what we need you to do. Go to podsurvey.com/IT. Take a quick anonymous survey that will help us get to know you a little bit better. It takes like 2 minutes. I breeze through it really quickly. It's nice and easy. That way we can show the advertisers just who and how great our listeners are. Even if you've taken our show's podcast survey before, the current one is new and different. So we'd really love for you to take it all over again. And once you've completed the survey, you can enter to win a $100 Amazon gift card. God knows we can all find something on Amazon to blow $100 on. So that's podsurvey.com/IT. So it's podsurvey.com/IT. Thanks for your help. We really appreciate it.
And no, you're not Native American. We had like 45%.
Oh,
like,
we had so many hundreds of answers that came in. We got trolled beyond belief.
It's all
jerks.
Good.
All right. So, hey, we do still have Elise in here. We wanted to, we still have Anne. Hi. We didn't throw her out. But so when I one of the things I found out, because again, I'm stunned she's in marketing because she never talks about what she does. One of the things that you're involved with is the Detroit Hispanic Development Corporation. And I knew nothing about this. And then after we talked, I went and took a look at it. Very, very cool stuff going on. So I guess just tell people a little bit about what it is, what its mission is, and what it does.
All right. So I'm a recent board member, but I've been involved since 2011. In 2011, I was involved in they have a Dreammakers Gala, which is kind of their fundraiser. But basically, the DHDC, the Detroit Hispanic Development Corporation, which was founded in 1987. So this year is their 20th anniversary.
Which is so weird because when I think 20 years ago, I think people are talking about the 70s.
I know.
I hate that about getting older.
So Angela Reyes, originally started the DHC. They provide basically life-changing services to Southwest Detroit youth, so youth and their family.
You said, I mean, honestly, like, these are the, like, so, you know, it's Southwest Detroit. not necessarily some of the best neighborhoods, you know, right. in Detroit. And it's all about getting, you know, these kids the life skills that they need to help them in some cases get out of bad situations and get, you know, right. try to better their lives.
So it's youth and their families. So a lot of it, mainly Hispanic families, obviously Detroit Hispanic Development Corporation. There are programs that involve getting their parents involved. There are programs for ESL. There are programs for, you know, if they've been in trouble with the law, reemergent sort of things, tattoo removals. The one that I've been the most involved with has been First Robotics. It's run out of the DHDC, and First Robotics, which is a national organization, basically teaches youth, from first grade through fifth grade. There's different levels of experience they do right. in robotics, but the one that I've been the most involved in has been high school age, where they basically have a program that teaches students the electrical and mechanical engineering parts of the robotics. It's basically like learning through play.
Right. Well, so I mean, it's kind of like what are they called? The Lego sets that have all
younger ages within First. So First Robotics is a national organization, first of all. So different organizations like throughout Michigan, Michigan's actually the largest, spoiler alert. Michigan has a lot of engineering.
No.
So Michigan is actually like one of the largest states. I think Michigan and California, the largest states, First Robotics, which is a national organization. Schools will teach mechanical and electrical engineering, and also like the business aspects of building a robot and presenting it to judges to have them basically a varsity sport to have them like win specific competitions.
Huh.
Yeah.
I know there was some involvement. I mean, we did a lot of stuff last year with Enable.
Yep.
The folks who make the 3D printed assembled hands. Mm-hmm. And I think they did a lot of things with First Robotics.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I don't know if they did anything with DHDC, but at the DHDC specifically, in the past, since 2015 even, when they mainly got started, Joaquin Nuno Whalen, who's his title is like 50,000 words long.
That, not me.
His title is like 50,000 words long. He's the chief engineer of next generation car trucks and SUVs. So basically, like your Escalades. I'm trying to think of the other GM products that are like the next generation cars and trucks.
Was he one of the guys, or was that Ford? I can't remember. That was speaking at the. I mean, hey, you over there? One of the guys that was at the main event thing that we were at, or was that? Ford.
Mike Rowe from Microsoft?
No.
You guys are really nice good plug. At this.
No, because at the automotive media day preview thing that we went to, the main event 20 thing, they had a whole slew of like next generation cars and robotics and that sort of thing. And that's one of the things they were talking about was all the technology that's going into the cars and these competitions that are going on. So I mean, that's like once I started reading, it kind of helped start putting two and two together. Yeah.
Right. So I'm not sure if he was one of the people that you've seen, but I do know a lot of the times with people who are in like the actual production aspect of the automobile, people who like do all the design, like what's it, life cycles.
Mm-hmm.
That he's basically on lock in terms of like features that include electronics 5 years before they go to production, like actual like physical production and all the chassis and all the bells and whistles that go into actually making a car or a truck. So when you have someone like that, I've been working with him a lot, and he is the chief engineer. I forget right now, and I can provide it on the website mm-hmm. later as to which team he's a chief engineer for at DHDC. But the DHDC has GM is like a prime sponsor, and Detroit Labs also sponsors FANUC, like robot, which basically it's the robots that build robots. Also just like.
And that's how Terminator was born.
Right. And that's how Terminator was born. But so like, students in Southwest Detroit are working with mentors who are like actual like practitioners of mechanical and electrical engineering
that are actually doing it, which right. is, yeah, and it's so, not just the academic side of life.
Right. And so we also have like, software engineers at Detroit Labs who are working with all the kids, who are working on deploying the software onto the robots that are going to be in competition starting this Friday, which is districts and then, nationals, which goes on until April. But basically these kids are learning through play how to like functionally program through electrical and mechanical engineering and also business, how to like program and present a robot to a judge, which if they're going to college and they're thinking about coming back into business, like be it at automotive or being in Detroit or anywhere, that's like a highly marketable skill.
Oh, God. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and just speaking of Detroit, I mean, one of the things that we talked about during lunch, which I thought was really cool, is that the vast majority of the kids that go into this program, you know, it's not, you know, hey, I want to get the F out of here.
Right.
It's, hey, I want to learn how to do this stuff and make life better so that I can come back and lift up those behind me.
Right. So specifically, Wendy Montesinos, who works on Detroit Christo Rey High School, Team 5577, they're participating in Southfield competition for districts this Friday. She's in college at Wayne State right now. But last year, when she was a senior, she was talking to one of the mentors at Detroit Christo Rey, and they said, you know, well, you know, you go into college and, you know, you'll be an engineer and you can, you know, go wherever you want. And she was saying, no, I want to come back here because I want to make my community a better place. Like, that's powerful.
Yeah.
If you have someone who's 16, 17, 18 years old saying
that gets that.
Yeah, yeah. That gets that. They see what's going on in the community. Some of it's great. Some of it isn't so great. They're seeing that they can make it better. She's saying, at that age, at 17 years old, I'm going to come back here after I get my education and I'm going to make my community a better place. That's amazing.
It's very cool. Samina, are there any special requirements that somebody has to meet in order to get involved with the DHDC? Is there, you know, how do you figure out, you know, is there an aptitude test? Is there, like how does somebody get involved?
Well, so Detroit Labs got involved. So I had known a couple contacts to the DHDC a couple years ago, but I hadn't been involved in this like level until last year. But basically, if you have knowledge in mechanical engineering, electrical engineering, programming, I'm in business, so I led a preseason education on business on how to help students present professionally to judges, because they have to. That's part of the aspect of competition is and getting some of the awards, which leads to different grants and like which leads to more money depending on like, you know, what the program and different recognition. They have to not only be able to build in different respects, like the actual robot, they have to be able to talk about it professionally. And like as a 17-year-old, like, that's weird to talk to adults about like the work you're doing. Like you don't know that
doesn't change when you're older than 17.
No, I know, but like, I mean, but when you're 17, it's very, very new.
Yeah,
funny. Engineers in general aren't so good at talking.
Well, that's right. That's what I mean. I mean, just you know, any technology realm, you have people in it that usually don't know how to talk business.
So if you want to get involved with the DHCC and helping coach or mentor, just basically have a knowledge in mechanical, a professional working knowledge in mechanical engineering, electrical engineering, software programming.
So what about on the, hey, I want my kid to go to this, or like I want to get in, like how does that happen?
So First Robotics is a national organization. Michigan, again, is one of the largest. They have their own website. I'm lacking the actual URL.
Yeah,
right,
we'll
now.
Find it.
We'll find it. But basically they start as young as elementary school, where they do like Lego robotics. And they kind of like graduate through elementary school, middle school.
So they don't necessarily have to like touch base with DHDC to get involved.
Right. No, anyone who wants to get involved with First Robotics can. Oh, and also Joaquin Nuno-Whalen, who is very passionate, obviously, like at the DHDC, he's passionate like throughout the state of Michigan. Gail Alpert, who is basically the head of First Robotics in Michigan, is passionate about getting anyone involved who wants to. So if there's a program at some sort of center that you belong to, be it like a JCC or you know, DHCC is just like the main one, we can help you figure out how to get that started.
So cool. firstinmichigan.org.
Right.
Yeah.
Thank you, Nuri.
You're welcome.
Cool.
Yeah.
All right. Anything we missed? Thought we hit all the basics. Just wanted to make sure.
Yeah, those are good basics. Do you have any other questions, Bob? No, you're good.
Well, so like, I guess, like, how, like, what do these competitions involve? I mean, like, so if I'm a, you know, you said districts are coming up. I mean, are those fifth grade kids? Are those eighth grade kids? Are those high school kids?
Those are high school kids, and that's where it really counts. So, I mean, not that it doesn't count in any other grade, but in terms of like being able to acquire scholarships, even a lot of the juniors and seniors are starting to look for like prospective scholarships to college. A lot of this experience and a lot of the sponsorships and a lot of this exposure helps them be able to, gain those scholarships or gain the experience.
goes down in your permanent record.
Right. No, exactly.
The competitions are really cool. There's a theme each year where there's a particular puzzle that you have to solve or a series of challenges, and each team has to create some kind of robot that moves the boxes from here to there, or navigates the maze, or knocks over the tower.
Somebody show my age here for a sec. Is this the evolution of, do you remember Olympics of the Mind, Bob?
No.
Did they have that out here when you were, okay.
No. I wouldn't have been invited anyway.
You're not a mathlete, are you?
No, I got like 31 math ACT and I got like a 14 reading. And it's like the story of my life.
Yeah, last year's competition was each team got a castle and you had to cross a moat and attack the castle. And there were certain points or like extra value given if you knock over the tower, if you scale up the wall.
You'd love that, Bob. It's Clash of Clans.
This year it's Dave's favorite. It's steampunk, actually. So
I have to avoid.
Okay, so steam engineering. So basically the robots have like these hoppers that will pick up like wiffle balls.
Okay.
And then they have to like shoot the wiffle balls, but then at the end but then also while they're picking up wiffle balls and shooting them, they're also picking up gears, and they will pick up these gears and they'll deliver them to the center of like the playing field. It's kind of like these four quadrant with a center for listeners. I'm trying to like explain it visually as visually as I can verbally. So in the center, you deliver these gears. And so it starts, twisting like kind of the center, like more vertically as you deliver the gears, it like starts making it higher. And so the great robots will be able to climb the height of the center.
Interesting.
At the end. Right. And that's part of the competition. But so.
See, I would totally make weapons and like shoot like.
Battle bots.
Shoot like battle bots. Yeah,
there's a battle bot aspect to it. So, like, I don't think they can actually fight.
Mad Max wheel grinders.
So robotics at DHGC has only been going on for a few years, and they've gotten 56 students going to college with about $850,000 in scholarships, which is incredible. Yeah.
That's not bad at all.
It's not bad at all. It's incredible, and it's. All sorts of different high schools that are in the Southwest Detroit area.
That's 13-14 grand per kid? That's not bad.
Yeah.
That's my take on jobs moving forward. Don't complain that a robot might take your job. Go learn how to make robots.
Learn how to build a robot.
Right. Yeah. Right. No, and even so Joaquin, again, who works at GM, he's been even saying like at GM specifically, they've been prioritizing entry-level resumes that have first robotic experience, because you not only have practical experience with the team, you have practical experience like getting feedback, working with a robot and electrical and mechanical, you've had business experience, like it's all sorts of these different layers of professionalism that like students are learning before they even get to college that are incredible.
Well, which makes perfect sense. I mean, it's right. I know we've talked about this before. You know, if you give me the choice between somebody with a four-year degree and somebody who's been out actually doing it for 4 years, right. I want the person who's been out doing it because they understand the practical realities of how all this stuff works as opposed to just what the book told them.
Right. And there are all sorts of different ways even to sponsor this program or to sponsor the DHGC and the other programs they provide to the community. In the community over the past 20 years, annually, they service 5,000 people. So depending on their needs, it's ESL, it's tattoo removal, it's reemergence sort of training, it's family training, different sort of education that they need. So
teaching you how to change a tire, maybe?
Maybe head.
Adulting? Yeah.
Maybe American 101. American Adulting 101. But basically, through the different aspects of the Detroit Hispanic Development Corporation, you can either sponsor students who are learning robotics, you can sponsor people who are learning how to basically interact with Americans. I don't know how else to say that.
Right.
Us Caucasians. and learn how to basically just be members of our culture. It's awesome.
That's very cool.
It's been very cool. It's been a very great experience.
I always love stuff like that.
Yeah.
So how do we find you online? How do we find this program online?
DHGC1.org. If you have any questions specifically, you can email me at elyse.turner@detroitlabs.com, and I can route you to the best person.
Yeah, we had the link to their Facebook page is in the event listing and the blast that we put out today too. So
perfect.
And Angie is incredible.
Good.
She's the
Does she have a list?
Oh, jeez. Sorry. On that note, we're gonna cut Dave's mic off. But hey, we're going to wrap things up for an episode 185. That was pretty awesome. Thank you all for listening and hanging out. I'd like to thank our guests, Elise and Anne from Detroit Labs. That's also right. Like to thank...
Well, we're looking forward to the new podcast. Always love new content.
Exactly.
Keep an eye out for it.
And like to thank our sponsors, Fellows, Bombas, HostGator. On behalf of Bob, Dave, and Nuri, do us all a favor. Drink up your drinks. Get your phone numbers. You don't got to go home. You just got to get the hell out of here. Drive careful. See you next week. Beat it.
The emergency destruct system is now activated.
Conan, what is best in life? To crush your enemies, see them driven before you, and to hear the lamentation of their women.
Long live Flash. You've saved your life. Have a nice day.
I have come here to chew bubblegum and kick ass. And I'm all out of bubblegum.
Nice shooting, son. What's your name?
Murphy.
Make the run. The run.
Game over, man. Game over.
It's over, Johnny. It's over.
Nothing is over. Nothing. You just don't turn it off.
I can't say no, and I don't really want to, so.
Well, especially with the back doors open.
Yo! Hold up! Time out! Time out! Y'all take a chill. You need to cool that shit out. And that's the double truth, Ruth.
Bob loves it in the camp.
I hope this was as much fun for you as it was for me.
That's why I like it in the can.
Joe, warn the cheese.
Fear me.
My job is to make sure this program is morally upright and cultural and wholesome.
Shut up, Mimsy! Shut up, Mimsy! Shut up, Mimsy!
Why would, like, Buick put their cars next to, like, the Bentleys? Like, why? That's not marketing.
The alphabet.
It's brilliant.
Yeah, I can't take that position.
That analogy sucks because it's right.
Because you're getting your 8-track tuned up.
Are we at a break yet? Yeah, so now I'm just like doing like stupid stuff to make me laugh.
Venture capital is not the end game.
When are we going to talk about me?
Jane, you ignorant slut.
It's my show. I can say what I want. Yeah.
Kiss my ass. Go home. Unplug. Get off the goddamn internet. You are everything that is wrong with the internet right now.
You're so white right now.
I'm the whitest guy in the room. Just explain it to me.
Show now.
I love this city. I was banging on the way.
Really? Should we talk about the tag team? Should I keep going or should I stop?
Can I just say, it's been great being on a show that talks about Mickey Rooney dying for 20 seconds and then poop for 10 minutes.